Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Cape Crusader Cody, and we are keeping it geekly with our returning guest, John, and he's bringing along his artist, Michelle Lodge. We're here to break down Home Free issue 1, 2, and 3. John, Michelle, welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Thank you.
I'm great, man.
Thanks for having us. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Last time we had John on, we were breaking down Home Free issue 2. I had the opportunity to read issue 2. Thank you so much for that, John. And this was such an outstanding read. I love the story you guys are telling with Sarah. I love just like how high this ante's getting. Like the climax of this is just getting unbearable. It's like you can cut the tension with a knife almost, if you know what I mean. But before we dive too deep into it, give us a little bit about yourself, John, if you want to give us a little bit of a recap. Because what we'll do is we'll have that video pop up from our last interview. And then, Michelle, sure. We'll deep dive you a little bit since this is your first time on the show.
Nice.
Hey, everyone. My name is John. I've been writing comics for quite a long time, since like the early 2000s. I used to do a lot of web comics. The Home Free series is my first jump into print, so it's really kind of an exciting time for me. So I love writing horror. I love writing like within the noir and crime genre. So in the future, you can probably expect to see a lot more with the horror stuff. But like those are my two genres. That's why I love to write. That's what I love to watch. That's what I love to read. So like that's just what I do. I don't know anything else about me. I like just more general kind of stuff. Or
has some awesome cats, right?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
I got a couple cats who I keep out of the room, but you might hear the door handle going in like about 10-15 minutes because Thaddy likes to try to get into the rooms. He's good at opening doors. He's learned that within the last couple months. So
we were talking backstage. I just put my tree up and it's been a nightmare because I have two cats and they're both like laying underneath it, and they're just like, and I'm like, come on, guys.
Right. Yeah, we always put the cheap, really cheap like plastic ornaments on the bottom, you know what I mean? So that they can't like knock them down and break them. We have like a small tree. We used to have a really giant one. Then we had some flooding issues at one of our places. So we just have this small tree we kind of put up now, and they don't really try to climb that one. So it's kind of a safe bet for us.
Michelle, what about you? Give us a little bit about how you got into creating comics as well, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, I've always loved to draw, and reading comics from an early age, you know, started with Calvin and Hobbes, and then Archie, and then Batgirl, and then once it hit Batgirl, it was like, oh, I have to read everything. So the art in comics in general always kind of fascinated me, and I kind of knew I wanted to do that pretty early in my life. So went to art school, SCAD for their sequential art program, and after that just really hit the ground running making comics. So that's where you find me now, I guess.
I have a question for Michelle. Sure. Did you start, because Michelle has two really distinct styles. She does like really kind of like cartoonier kind of comic stuff, like more like kid friendly styles, but then she also has her darker edge like Home Free style. Like, what did you start doing? Was that, I mean, did you start with like the kind of more kid friendly kind of cartoon art, or was it more where'd the switch come in, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I thought about this a lot, and I'm not entirely sure. I think it's just like two sides of myself and my tastes. And it's just, I started doing the more kid-friendly, cartoony stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I started doing more darker, noir-type looks, both of them appeal to me in such different ways, and I like doing both of them. I don't know. I think if I work on one style too long, I'll really crave the other style. Mm-hmm. And so if I can like work on them both simultaneously, it really keeps me fresh artistically. Like I'll work on something cartoony over here, and then something dark and gritty here, and then I need something light, and then I need
Like I can't even balance one, right? I have a hard time drawing even like just a stick person. And she's like, you know, I balance two different distinct styles. I'm like, I don't know how. So what was some of your past works, though? I know John said you had the different other art style. You know, what was like some of your first books that you worked on?
So I worked on Whizbang the Boy Robot, which was an all ages comic about the... like a robot who kind of had dreams of being a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Snorkel McCorkle and the Lost Flipper was one I did kind of more recently. And then along the years, I've done a webcomic strip, you know, that's semi-autobiographical called Momentality. And that's more about family humor, like the humor of being a parent, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think those were my major cartoony stuff. Yeah.
Momentality was her first Kickstarter too.
Mm-hmm.
Like she has, so she released a book of Momentality.
Okay.
Yeah, true.
So how was it like diving into just comics in general? I hear from a lot of different artists that it's kind of like two different worlds, like just doing art and then doing art for comics.
Oh yeah. I think art for comics is kind of intense because you're not making, like, you're drawing a page, and mm-hmm. not only are you trying to tell a story visually and make sure your audience can comprehend what's going on. That's extremely important, but you're also like doing full illustrations, you know, you're doing like 6-8 full illustrations on one page.
Yeah.
So it's just work intensive that way, but fun.
So do you do traditional or digital?
Digital. Yeah. I used to do traditional, but digital is just makes the process
yeah.
so much more smooth. No scanning, cleaning up images, or any of that.
I hear it's a lot easier too. When you make a mistake, you could just erase it instead of having to redo the whole entire page.
Yes. Yeah. That's a huge bonus.
No, that is awesome. So I'm curious, how did you two end up a meeting to begin work on Home Free issue one?
Oh, it was years ago now. I always forget dates. I'm bad with dates, but probably like I'd say 10 years ago, right?
That at sounds, this point. Yes.
Yeah.
Around there.
So it was like on a, just like a random forum where people kind of met up, like artists and writers would like kind of like, they'll seek out each other. And she just had like a random post about, hey, I do noir style art. I'm looking to work on a noir comic, you know, a crime thing or whatever. She had a bunch of examples of her work. And I just responded because I was like, dude, that's exactly what I'm looking for right now. I had just written this like, you know, massive graphic novel, and Michelle was kind enough to take that on, you know, just like to have like, you know, a new relationship with an artist and mm-hmm. then have them just dive into like 300 pages of like stuff that you wrote. Like that was like amazing to me. Like, cause my experiences before that, honestly, like were like I had worked with a lot of flaky people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they just kind of like I had one project. I loved the project. It's like this horror comic, but I had like 3 different colorists and 2 different inkers and like, you know, I think 3 different letterers on it. It was just, you know what I mean? This is just like one like 40 page work, you know? But she like stuck around for an entire 300 page graphic novel. And it was like, you know, and the art in that is amazing. She gave it her all in that. So
mm-hmm.
That's where we met. And like, you know, we've just been working together since then.
So how did it feel yeah. to finally find someone who is like reliable to get the work done, having gone through so many individuals, like trying to create that 40 page book?
How did it feel finally finding
someone that like, you could rely on?
You know, it was the worst part of it was I had an inker and he was great, man. He had such great art. I loved his art, but he kind of disappeared on me for the last four or five pages. I was just like, oh, no. Oh my God.
It's like the most important part.
Yeah, yeah. So I found this other artist who's really talented. I think I was following him on Instagram maybe, or I'm not even sure where I connected with him. He was from like South Africa, I think. And like, I was just like, hey man, do you think you can mimic this style just for like four pages? And he did like I feel like those last four pages, you could barely tell that there's a different artist mm-hmm. working on them. You know, he did a really great job. So it was awesome that he came through for me and was able to do that. But it was like devastating when I just like, dude, I have four pages left, you know, or five, whatever it was like a really small amount. But finishing that project felt really good because it was just like, I wanted to just put it behind me at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm. We have M. Bardo over on YouTube. I can't even do stick figures good, let alone multiple art styles. I'm in the same boat as you two. Speaking of that, Michelle, what was how many books did you have under your belt with before jumping into this graphic novel? That seems like such a big project to take on.
Yeah, I didn't really have any official books under my belt at that time. I had done a project with somebody that did not work out, we'll say that. So I'd done the work, but mm-hmm. nothing came of it. And it was just, you know, so I can't say officially. I think The Black Wall was my first official, you know, book.
Wow, though.
It was pretty demanding, man. I mean, she had to do a lot of, like, you know, really detailed, interesting things. Like, there was scenes, like, in Afghanistan and, like, mm-hmm. And like places she'd never been. Like, you know, most of it takes place in Reno, Nevada, some of it in Las Vegas. So, yeah, I don't know, like just having that as your first work, and there's a lot of really emotional and dark stuff in that one as well. So it impressed the hell out of me.
So isn't that the one that ties into Home Free? Like the characters in issue one, if I'm not mistaken?
Right.
See, I remembered.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Black Wall is takes place 10 years before Home Free. I have to always state this just because, like, I don't want people listening to think like, oh my God, I have to read this other graphic novel to read Home Free, but you don't, because the way we wrote it and put it together is it's a separate story. It does tie in, but you don't, like, reading either one first will give you a mm-hmm. different perspective on the other work. Like after you read Home Free, you're going to go into the Black Wall with certain ideas, and those ideas may or may not be completely crushed in that story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you read the Black Wall and then you read Home Free, you're going to like just kind of, Sarah is the continuing character. So, like, she's in the Black Wall. So you're going to see a completely different Sarah, from that story to this story, and how she's grown over those 10 years, and, like, you know, where she's going.
So Sarah is a really interesting character. I mean, she is constantly in survival mode, like 24/7, and she just takes like no shit at all. I mean, can you guys give us a little bit about her? You know, what went into, you know, her character design, just her character in general. Like, this character just, she just seems like a total badass.
Go ahead, John. Yeah.
No, I was gonna say you can go ahead. Because, like, I like wrote out Sarah, but like what you see, like, is what Michelle gives her. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, Sarah to me is such an interesting character because she is a badass, but that's been hard earned for mm-hmm. her. So she's just kind of endured hardship over hardship and kind of develop this really thick skin as time goes on. Excuse me. So visually, how I did her character design for Home Free, I gave her some short hair to sort of, I don't know, like a no-nonsense kind of vibe to her look. And Doc Martin boots on mm-hmm. her feet, Okay, now I kind of lost my train of thought.
But. We have Embardo over on YouTube says, reminds me of Ripley. I was going to say, kind of gives me Sarah Connor vibes almost, like just with how like ruthless she is. Like, even in like combative situations, she's able to handle her own. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, I would say Sarah Connor actually. Yeah, I'd say that's kind of a good comparison, you know. Especially Terminator 2, Sarah Connor, that's where Sarah is, you know, the Sarah, you know, now in this, she's, you know, 10 years past, like 10 years over like a traumatic past, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, things may have happened within those 10 years we don't know about either, but that's part of the character, you know, it's like, she basically, Sarah's past, in the Blackwell, when you meet her, she is a prostitute. She's young, she's like 17, 18 years old. So she's just a teenager. She comes from, her mother, was, you know, just basically, you know, they were living in a tent. Her mother's, basically a meth head. There's lots of problems from her past that she had to kind of escape from, you know, she's gone through a series of like bad relationships with like terrible men. And, you know, there's basically this comic is like 10 years removed from that kind of, mostly 10 years removed, maybe 8, maybe even 7 years removed. We don't really know for sure when Sarah finally broke free from all that stuff, but she is removed from that past at this point and just trying to, like, you know, live her own individual life away from, you know, just kind of the noise of all that violence from her past.
One thing I really love about Sarah too is she doesn't hesitate to help others get out of that lifestyle too. You know, she's quick to jump in and try to help, you know, save another woman from that lifestyle. Embardo jumping in to say that too, but Ripley in Resurrection was a total badass. That is true. Touche on that one. So give us a little bit about issue one and issue two, you know, before we kind of dive into issue three's Kickstarter. Let's set the pace a little bit.
Sure. I guess issue two starts, Sarah meets a young girl named Emmy who has a very similar past to her. There might be some spoilery stuff in this, but I'll try to keep it. It's just the story, you know what I mean? Like the things happen and those are the plot points. She and Emmy kind of form this quick friendship. Sometimes that happens, you know, it's just she sees this girl who reminds her really a lot of her or people that she knew, and she just sees her with a black eye and she wants to kind of remedy whatever situation is going on in her life. Her plan is just to help her escape. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a confrontation with her pimp, whose name is Grip. And, you know, things go haywire from there. Issue two starts with them escaping in. They're in Grip's car. They've stolen it. They end up in a part of, so the first story takes place in Coos Bay, Oregon. They're on the road now. They're still in Oregon. Sarah's plan is to take Emmy to Idaho, where her parents are. Whether or not Emmy really agrees with that, but along the way, they meet up with a couple of people that recognize that car, mainly Grip's brother and his group of thuggish friends. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge confrontation there. And then we go from there, basically read the comic at that point, and then we start off issue three, Sarah's alone. So you kind of have to find out what goes on by reading those comics. But Sarah's alone, continuing her journey. She's decided that she wants to go to Mexico to kind of, her solutions are always like moving from place to place to escape her past. That doesn't necessarily always work, but her plan is just to get the hell out of America at this point, because there's a backstory going on also where America's kind of in like kind of a downfall days. Like there's a lot going on. The economy's bad. There's a lot of protests in the streets. There's different factions of Americans kind of forming, and there's like a cold civil war kind of going on. There's some other stuff going on in the background that you're only getting hints at. And I would say that issue three is kind of a transitional comic from issue two to four, where you're getting a lot more of Sarah's story, but you're also getting a lot more of the bigger picture as well, of what's going to be going down.
Yeah, this is a 5-issue run, so we're like right on that hump. And I mean, in issue two, too, you could really feel the political unrest. Like, there was one individual throwing his drink at a TV because he didn't like what he was hearing. And, you know, I was just, it just really seems like things are about to hit the fan. M. Bardo, I thought this was supposed to be fiction. well, you guys wrote this, what, 10, you guys were working on this like 10 years ago, right?
The original story, The Black Wall, 10 years
ago. Oh, 10 years ago, okay.
So this one we started working on, I'd say, late 2020, early 2021.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Around there. That's where the ideas kind of started brimming for this one. And, you know, definitely, like, I took events from the previous comic and kind of built them into a scenario that kind of mirrors, like, the world we live in right now. But hopefully are getting to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So everyone watching, right here is the link to the Kickstarter. We're going to get ready to pull this up right now. Be sure to check this out with us if you are unable to back. It is New Comic Book Day, so feel free to back. But if you can't, put this on Facebook, put this on Twitter, anywhere you can put social media links. Getting as many eyes on this as possible is what we're trying to do. And we're really close to the home line. All right, so we are looking at Home Free issues 1-3. Issue 3 brings more hard-boiled suspense and grindhouse action as Sarah ventures to the desert to dig up secrets kept hidden for a decade. Currently at $2,138 of a pledge goal of $2,500, 56 backers and 8 days left to go. Congratulations on hitting this goal so far, guys. How are you feeling so far about the campaign?
Pretty good. You know, how do you feel, Michelle?
Yeah, I feel good. The campaigns are hard because it's like 30 days of like, you know, it's just, but it's looking, I'm really happy with where it's at right now. I mean,
I look at the funding chart, it's kind of going in steps. Like we have a lot of good backing, then it's kind of flat for a little bit. Backing, flat. Mm-hmm. It's been like we've had different charts every single campaign I've noticed, you know? This one, I'm digging this one. This one's like a couple of days where like, oh man, are we going to get some funding? And then it's like, boom, a bunch of funding. And it's like, oh, is it going to happen again?
You know? So it seems like you guys missed there was like, what, the beginning of October? Is when there was nonstop Kickstarters like every other like day. It seems like you guys missed that by just a couple weeks. So you guys got lucky with that.
I feel like. I mean, I feel like there's just Kickstarters all the time, just going though. Yeah. But I think October was like a real heavy month from
that. Oh my God, dude. I was like, like two or three shows a day sometimes. Like it was ruthless. we could watch this video though. Do you guys want? You guys won't be able to hear the audio on your end, but we can hear it loud and clear on ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go ahead and check this out real quick. So I gotta ask, a big focus of this, you know, with Sarah wanting talking about like trying to get back home and everything, but then the name of it's Home Free. Is there any symbolism between that?
I think that's one of those things. Like I don't always like getting deep into that, so like readers can kind of discover that kind of stuff on their own. But I would say Home Free, the title, there's a lot you can take from it, and I want people to kind of come up with their own things. Sometimes I think when the author kind of makes the statement like this is what this means, like that's it, you know. But I'd rather just leave that title and open to interpretation, you know.
So in Home Free, Desert Green, the road to freedom is paved with those who get in the way. So that sounds very, that seems like something even worse is going to happen. I mean, Sarah's had some rough times in issue 1 and issue 2. So I can only imagine what in issue 3 is going to happen for that to be said.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely like, I mean, you can get obviously there's going to be like a cop that's watching her that's kind of involved in this whole thing. But, you know, the story doesn't end there. There's like lots of surprises to come in this one. I think, you know, what you can see is only like a little bit of what you're going to get.
So Home Free is a 5-issue series following Sarah as she confronts an unresolved past against the backdrop of a country on the brink of violent revolution. We join her on an escape route to Mexico. Every issue taking us to a new point in her drive from the foggy ports of Coos Bay or to the sun-beaten streets of crumbling San Diego, California. Will the violence of the world envelop her, or can she break free and start a new life? So, right here are the creators. Of course, we had the pleasure of introducing them earlier, but once again, if you guys want to maybe give a little bit of a shout-out to yourselves.
Oh, just like a little bit about ourselves, you mean? Like,
yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what I don't even remember what I said before, but you know, kind of just if I'm going to talk specifically about myself in terms of this comic, just what drives me is like I love old like film noir films. But I also really like the old EC comics, like they're old crime comics. That's kind of my inspiration, especially I kind of write usually like more long-winded stuff. So that's really inspired me to kind of tone it down to like 24 pages was like a big step for me, basically. Mm-hmm. So like I try to take inspiration from those old comics to, because they're like 4 or 5 pages long, you know? So I'm like, how do I get this story and all these points and all this stuff done in like a shorter page amount? So like so that's in terms of Home Free, some of my inspirations there, like you know, I tried to give a little bit of that film noir kind of dialogue to it, the kind of snappiness, but not go overboard and too stylized where it's like grounded in reality, because this comic is also grounded in a lot of reality of the world we live in. So I try to tackle both things and keep it kind of balanced.
And is that Fatty right there?
That's Kiddo. That's my dad. Yep.
I love the socks, like the legs.
Yeah.
Funny, man. Michelle, what were some of your inspirations like doing the art for this though?
Oh, for this specifically, gosh, I really like Charles Burns' work. I'm always inspired by Frank Miller, but my work doesn't really look like his, other than the homage piece I did. So I, you know, it's hard to say that was a direct inspiration, but he is.
I love Charles Burns' work. He's awesome.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my inspiration here.
No, you know, I would say a lot of the, like, the darkier, like grimier feelings, you know? I could see the Frank Miller inspirations for that, though. Like, the darker tones and such.
Okay, cool.
Was it harder transitioning from, like, the... I know you said you like to balance between the two, but when you initially started doing the darker stuff, like, was it harder to kind of break free from, like, the more, like, child, kiddish, like, type of look?
I don't remember it being hard. Not really. But I do really just enjoy really switching lanes artistically, here and there. It keeps me fresh, I guess.
I can imagine for an artist, it must be like, I mean, think about what you do, Cody. I know you do like live streaming some like video games. Then you switch off and you're doing these interviews, which are like, you know, probably a little more focused in, you know, on, you know, other. So it's probably like, think about, is it hard for you to do that? You know what I mean?
Oh,
so, like,
man, I just cut loose when I'm streaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I don't have to be professional there. Like,
right. Right. And that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, there's, but it's different styles of doing what you do. Like, just for writing, you know, if I'm jumping from like a horror thing or to a noir thing, or, you know, like right now I'm writing like a short story, like more prose, like, you know, I think if you're into what you do, it's probably not that hard to like go back and forth. It's just it's just natural, you know.
So we have some of the interiors right here, and yeah, this is gorgeous. I love this. We have Sarah shopping for what appears to be a shovel and a backpack, maybe even a lantern there. So
yes. Yep, she's getting prepared.
And I love this scenery too. So, did you like, take pictures or look at pictures for, you know, some of this environment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these are real exits.
Yeah. I think I sent her some links from Google Maps, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because this is, I live in Reno, Nevada, so this part takes place just really like 20 miles up the road from where I live right now. So this is just over the border in California. There's actually this gas station called Hallelujah Junction. It's where all the people from Reno go to buy their lottery tickets, because you can't buy lottery tickets in Nevada because we're a gambling state, so you can't gamble with that other stuff. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So you have to go to California to buy lottery tickets.
That is so weird.
I had no idea.
Hallelujah Junction is just this like gas station that's over the California border, just this outpost in the middle of the desert someplace, you know. So I thought, you know, this might be a cool location for it. And then there's also this, just a little more history on this area. There's this shoe tree that's, I don't have any of the images of that in here, I don't think. But there's a shoe tree. It's actually not there anymore, but I kind of like swapped places. It was like down the street from Hallelujah Junction. It was this like tree just covered in shoes, basically, that people would just throw their shoes on this tree. I think it fell down or the state tore it down eventually. I forget what happened.
But probably stumped. They're like, come on, guys.
Yeah. So that's in here too. So a little more Nevada, California history for you that's appearing on the pages of Home Free.
No, that is so, I love how it is like a part of your actual life too. Like this is a part of, you know, yeah, this is down the street from you. That is such a cool thing.
Right, right. I thought Reno was like, Reno is the location in the Black Wall. And when I moved here, I was like, what the hell is this place all about? I'm from Connecticut, man. I'm like the East Coast guy. So like, where am I, you know?
mm-hmm.
I just felt like this is such an underused place for like a backdrop of a story. So I actually have a lot of stories that take place in Reno now.
No, that is awesome. He's also killed a man in Reno, but that's a different story for another day. So here are some of the rewards as well. Let me drop this link in chat for you guys that are watching. We have a fistful of digital at $5 or more, so you can get the PDF of Desert Green. At $10 or more, for a few pages more, you receive the deluxe PDF. So what's going to be included in the deluxe version?
We'll have all the variant covers. We'll have some of the initial character designs that Michelle did. I'm going to do like a little write-up on Home Free and some of the characters and stuff. So there'll just be some extra things in there just to kind of sink your teeth into, maybe a little history and everything. So
at $12 or more, we're going to have Print 'em High receive the physical print. This will be cover A, so is that going to be right here? Or no, this is the first variant.
The Michelle's cover is the first one above these. It's right there. There it is. Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm. Michelle's cover.
So at $12, you'll get this cover?
Yeah.
And then let me scroll back down.
Then we start with, there's the digital ride is where you get all
awesome
the
price, though, for all three issues. That is, you said they're about 24 pages a pop?
24 pages each, so yeah.
Yeah, outstanding. And then at 16 or more, call me variant, so you get variant cover A, which will be right here.
Right.
And
this is
I want to say Raymond, we're supposed to get him on the show at some point this month, too. Or in December.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I like his comic's cool, man. So, he, you know, I was looking for somebody. He reached out to me. I was like, hell yeah, dude.
So is this the cop?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I've seen a cop car enough to notice that's a spotlight there or anything, but
Nothing to give you a little bit of an ominous feel there.
Oh, that's that cop is going to be playing a big part in this. It feels like.
Yeah.
At 22 or more, we have High Plains Printer, so receive the print editions of issues 1, 2, and 3 as well. So awesome physical tier as well. Such a great price, as well as the deluxe PDF of issue 3 too.
And this is the other variant we have. This one's by Samuel Iwans. He does the Magic Powder covers. So I reached out to Jeff I was like, hey man, like, who does your covers? Because I love your covers. Like, so I got hooked up with him through Jeff. So I think he did an outstanding job too.
Yeah, that's gorgeous too. And then that one's $16 or more too. So good prices for the variants as well. Only just a few bucks more than the actual standard cover. At $28, we get the print, the variant, and the digital. So, wait, I already said that one. Excuse me. At 30 or more, you get Once Upon a Time in John's Head. So, give us a little bit about this one.
Okay. So, it's obviously you get the basic issue 3. I'm also, for each comic now, starting with the last issue, I'm writing a short story that takes place within the Home Free world. Not necessarily directly connected to the story, but directly connected to like a character from the story or an event that happened. So there's an event in issue 2. There's like a major accident that a forensic cleaner goes to clean up the accident site, and he finds an object at that site, and that object takes him on kind of a wild ride. So it's there are going to be crime comic or crime stories, and they'll be in print and digital. So You can expect that every issue. I'm doing just basically a little series of Home Free crime stories.
No, that is really cool. And then next we have Once Upon a Time in Michelle's Head as well. So is this the art side of things? I'm taking it?
Yeah. So I think if you scroll down a little bit, you'll be able to.
I didn't even notice this. I'm so sorry, guys. Oh, I've been scrolling down this the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. That's okay.
All right, there we go. Here.
Yeah, so that comes with the 11x17 print that I did. That's the homage to Frank Miller's Sin City.
Love it. It is gorgeous. The red is just popping in it. Holy crap.
And then a trading card that I did of Sarah. So that trading card will be signed on the back and then put into protective plastic sleeve. Kind of a fun little thing to have.
No, that is so cool. At $50, we have reward tier 11, Day of Comics. So issue 1, 2, and 3 print, PDF, issue 2 variant print, issue 3 variant prints A and B, and then funding goal package as well. So let's talk a little bit about that funding goal package, because I've seen that up here. So this is what you get as it funds or after?
Basically, as it funds, these different things unlock. So then everyone who's a physical backer will get these items. So you get the logo sticker at 25%, which has been unlocked. Character bookmark at 50%, that's been unlocked. And then my favorite is the noir-style postcard at 75%. And then at 100%, everyone gets, every backer, physical or digital, will get their name in the back of the book as on our thank you page. And then the actual things that you get. That's the sticker, bookmarked, and that's the postcard. And if you like any of that stuff, like we do this every campaign, so then we have the old funding goal packages available as well, so you can actually purchase those as add-ons.
That is so cool. One of my favorite parts about all this stuff is like the merch, right? Like you get to you make the book, but then you get all the cool merch that comes with it. Like it's so awesome. And then we have the retail tiers too. So at $50, the price of retail, you get issue 5 copies of issue 1, 5 copies of issue 2, and then issue 3 as well as the funding goal package. And then the wild tier. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I just always want to say that these prices that you see are, like, the shipping is included in those prices. So that's just that's what you're paying. There's nothing else coming down the pipe.
Wow, that's awesome too. That is great. Because I'll tell you what, one of the biggest things with doing Kickstarter is when you get the little survey, and then it's like you have to pay like more. It's like, oh, I already thought I paid enough.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So at $60, we have the Wild Tier, issue 3 print with the deluxe PDF, and then Inheritor of the Dead book, which is that short story you were talking about inside the head of John. Then we have the print. So it basically, this tier gives you inside the heads of the writer and the artist, as well as the print and deluxe. Yeah. And then 100, everything, man, everything. So give us a little bit about this one. This sounds like a heavy hitter too.
Yeah, I mean, you get like basically all the different versions of the comic on print of issue 3, deluxe PDF, the book, you get a signed script so you can kind of see how I write and everything. Michelle's work with her the print and the trading card, but you also get the sticker that we made for this one. Which is the makeup kit right there. And you'll, as you read the story, you'll understand what that's all about. And then we also had an enamel pin made last time for the Home Free logo. So that's on there as well as the funding goal package, of course.
And then at $150, any gun can pay. So get drawn into Home Free issue 4. You never know what kind of role you'll get, villain, background character, or friend. So here's some examples dude, I'll tell you what. Seeing this dude, what he's capable of in issue 2 was, it was beastly. Well deserved, though. Well deserved.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So these last two tiers are actually all sold out, which is cool. But so 3 people are going to get the chance to be in the next issue, and then 3 more people are going to be getting their portraits done by Michelle.
I love the cat too. This is so awesome. With the little hat and
that's
everything.
That's Fatty right there. If you scroll down, we actually have my other cat. This is my wife's tier. She loves this tier, so she gets this every time. We're going to get our last cat, who passed away a couple of years ago. done on this last campaign, on this campaign. So we'll be able to hang all three of them up in the house now.
Aww. Right here is a close up of man, I love this print. This print looks gorgeous.
Thank you.
And then the trading card as well. How does it feel to see Sarah in color like this? That it's awesome, like seeing, you know, just like what, you know, the blush and just the skin tones can do to a picture.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's fun to draw her in color.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while. I do it for the covers too, but yeah, it's nice.
And then right here are some of those Nora portraits as well. I love the cat so much. That is so with the smoke and with the gun. Some available add-ons as well here. Once again, right here is that link. Be sure to check it out, guys. If once again, new comic book day, if you can't back, just put this on Twitter, put it on Facebook. Word of mouth is 100% free. Ooh, there's a fatty variant sticker as well.
Yeah, there's if you scroll down, there's actually an image of it. It's just of the logo for down there someplace, I think, right? Maybe I didn't put it on there.
Oh, ah, nope. Well, I don't think you did.
Missing something. Well,
hey, but right here. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, it's just a logo. It's the logo from the restaurant, basically, that we have in the second issue.
I gotcha. And then for everyone who was listening earlier, right here is 4 Days with May as well. So this is another short story within the Home Free universe.
Mm-hmm. And that one was with a character from the first issue who got tied to the sink, and it's just kind of her exploits, like how that situation came about, like her time tied to the sink, and then what happens afterwards.
No, that is so.
It's a
awesome.
Fun read. It is.
So right there is the. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say the cover for the new one, Inheritor of the Dead, is done by the artist. Luigi Criscuolo, who I've worked with in the past on Getting Back to Normal, one of my other crime comics, which actually takes place within the same universe of the Black Wall. So it's like I have this whole connected crime universe of these.
The multiverse
stories.
Of crime.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how it happened, but it just happened. And so he did that comic book with me. So he's gonna be doing the covers for the rest of the short stories.
So after going through the Kickstarter, John and Michelle, what would you guys like to say to anyone who might be on the fence about backing?
Oh, give it a try. It, you know, it's not a superhero story. It's different and down to earth and wild.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a try. That's what I'd say. John, go ahead. Take it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun read. It's like there's fun to be had. There's some suspense in there. There's lots of emotion too. There's like a, you know, we want our humans to really feel like humans, you know, and we want them to. I want you to feel them when you're reading them. So I think between my writing and Michelle's art, I think we do a pretty good job of that.
I would agree.
So I think this, you know, our series is a little different. You know, I think it's. You know, it doesn't have, like, I think a lot of people look for fantasy elements, which is, I'm not, like, putting down anything when I say this stuff, you know what I mean? Or, like, I feel like horror and fantasy and comics, especially in the indie scenes, are kind of like the bigger two right now, when I kind of look at Kickstarters out there. And that's awesome, because there's a lot of great stuff out there. I've been reading a lot of it. We just have something different to offer. I know it's, like, a bit of a harder sell. It's, like, kind of a hard-boiled, like, crime thing. Like, that's, like, takes place in a reality that might even mirror our own a little bit. But I think that if you dig into the story, I think it'll be you'll be surprised, and you'll find that it's really worth a read.
Oh, that is awesome. I had a blast reading issue one, issue two. I can't wait to see what happens in issue three. It looks like things are just going to – this is, like, the climax, right? This is issue three, so after this, everything's going to be off to the races afterwards. So what's speaking of that, what's next for you guys, you know, outside of home free issue 4 and 5, you know, what are you guys working on?
After Home Free is done, it's kind of our build up to actually getting the Black Wall published. We just, you know, as people don't know who we are, you know what I mean? We're kind of unknowns out there. So we didn't want to just dive into Kickstarter with this unknown 300-page graphic novel that, you know, people don't know anything about. So that's basically our next thing together for sure, is releasing The Black Wall. We do have another story called Mercy Kill that we worked on. We actually wrote the script together on that one, which is cool. So that may be in the future, but I don't want to, like, I don't, you know, Michelle has...
Oh, it's,
you know,
definitely in the future. Future.
Okay, yeah.
It's definitely.
Like, you know, official confirmation, let's go.
You know, we have, like, it was one we were going to, I think we're probably going to self-publish as well. But, you know, we have some pages done. The script's completely done on that. I'll probably give it another crack since I haven't touched it in a couple of years, you know what I mean? But that's, if we're going to, yeah, work together, I would say that would be our next thing for sure. Because that's like Michelle's kind of baby, too. She's,
yes.
That's something she's had, like, she wrote before she even met me. So
she's like, what do you mean if we work on it?
I just want to make sure. We haven't talked about it in a while, you know?
Like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, I am very excited about that project when it can happen. But,
and that's another crime, you know, noir thriller.
No, that is awesome. Let's go. That is, yeah, this has been such a great sit down. Michelle, John, thank you both for swinging by, hanging out with us and breaking down Home Free. Before we let you guys go completely, though, I always like asking one piece of advice for anyone who might be new and watching. So for anyone that's listening and maybe just struggling to get going with their comic, what type of advice would you offer them to help them kind of just get motivated enough just to get going?
What say you, Michelle?
Yeah, so I would just say find a story, a project, something that you're excited about and something that draws you to work on it. That would be my first piece of advice. And then the second would be just keep going. I know these comics, you know, and they take a lot to make, and it can get daunting like halfway through. It's like, but just keep going.
Yeah, just to go off what she's saying, I mean, exactly. Like, write the story that's driving you to write it or draw it, you know. Like, I don't know. Like, don't just, like, try to pick up on trends and what's cool and what's going on. Just,
right.
Like, write something that comes from you and that you've got to express, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just believe in that, you know? I believe that's the best way to make anything creative is it really has to come from you, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure even when you're an artist and you're doing something that someone's commissioned you to do, it's like you're doing it your way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's coming from you still, you know? But like when you're creating like a project from, you know, complete scratch, yeah, just make what you believe in. And as she said, just keep plugging away because comics is not for the meek. you gotta work, man. It's not just the drawing. It's not just the writing. It's the putting it together and creating the whole comic and getting the letterer and, you know, making sure the funds are all there for all this and then doing the Kickstarter and marketing it. And it's never ending. And you just gotta be in it all the time, you know?
We had Embardo saying, I need this advice. Embardo, you have a story within you too. That's always something I hear. Everybody has a story within themselves that needs to be told. So get to crack and bust out that pencil and notepad and get to work. That being said, guys, it is time for us to wrap up. One last time, here is the link to the Kickstarter. Be sure to check it out. You can't back it, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, anywhere that you can is greatly appreciated. Michelle, John, thank you so much for swinging by. Everyone watching, it is a lovely Wednesday. Get some new comic books, but most importantly, keep it geekly.